Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
And they they do $50 a night, so it's a nice little situation.
That is very nice. Hey, Jen.
What up, babe?
Hey. Issues.
We have everyone here. Yay!
Gang's
oh, so
here.
That's weird with Callie's phantom. You know how, like, in our records and stuff, it's been a few weeks since, like, her name shows up? So I realized the timer of the episode record didn't start until Jen arrived, which honestly,
is that true?
To me at the hip, so it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
How funny. I didn't notice that, but you're right. It did.
Yeah,
hilarious.
It's where the Voltron has come together. There we go. All parts of it.
Whoops. I love Voltron. It's such a good cartoon.
I was a big Voltron fan too.
They just don't write them like that anymore.
I don't know, man. Avatar. Have you got any of you guys ever watched Avatar: The Last Airbender?
I watched probably the first season regularly, and then kind of phased out of it just because I wasn't watching Nickelodeon as much as I got older.
I watched the cartoon, you know, the whole thing during the pandemic when the kids were home. That would be our break in mid morning. We'd stop and watch an episode of Avatar, and it became a thing. And then we recently all rewatched it together. And then, of course, they came out with the live action on Netflix, and so we just watched that whole season. And they're gonna get the other seasons. That's a good show. If you like Voltron, you'd probably love Avatar.
Okay.
It's good. I know it's a cartoon, but even if you just watch the live action. But I think you got to watch the cartoon to appreciate the live action.
I'm very excited because they're bringing back old school X-Men cartoon.
Wow. Yes. I heard about that. Yeah.
The good one. The one that had Jean.
The most awesome theme song ever. Of just super rad.
That was
turned
out all that good. Love me some X-Men.
Yeah.
Cool story.
But
all right, what are we talking about, Maddie?
Are we going to talk about Arrow? It's 2:02 and Oliver just being a big dum-dum.
I did watch it.
Yeah.
Callie, did you watch it?
No, but I remember.
He has the memory.
I watched it plenty back when
you did.
You watched it
true. Season 2 is prime regular rewatch. You know, of it's a good one to revisit.
Yeah,
because
it really is nice to enjoy the episode.
Funny how that happens.
Really traumatized by season 1. It is actually amazing that any of us stuck with this show.
No, but truly. For real.
You know, man, there's some glares.
You know, especially in that era, I feel CW shows either had two modes. They got canceled 10 episodes into their first season. Or they continue on forever.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised, although it makes sense with probably all the work that they had to do to license all the DC stuff, that that they got the pass on season 1 to figure shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Good point. Yeah, this one's kind of a lot of setup, I still feel like. I feel like we're We're getting there, but
we got some great Elicity nuggets.
So good. So good. Well, first they have Oliver working out again, which I appreciate. Like, on the salmon ladder. The only sad thing, Felicity wasn't watching him. Yes, we got, this is the one where she tries to quit.
Yeah.
Because
It was the one with the bicker in the front.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So she
the infamous Pan Vittable bigger bicker.
Yeah. So yeah, she's made her his executive secretary, and she's really pissed off about that. Because
like, you know, she's like a genius.
Yeah,
and
she
all.
Went to MIT.
She's like, why am I your secretary?
She's like, hey, I went to MIT, asshole. And she's like, I quit. And he's like, well, you can't. So, haha. And he's like, look at the cool computer I got you. And she's like, seriously, fuck off. It's amazing. And honestly, this is a very noticeable scene where you have where they have sexed Felicity up because that dress is so tight. It's so cute, but it's so tight. So, and I really felt like Emily was having trouble walking in heels this episode. Looked like.
Really?
Yeah. Like she was not used to wearing heels and was like having trouble. Like,
well, she kind of did a very purposeful stomp,
yeah,
which
it was like
is a like
stomp,
a
stomp. But it was like, I mean, I don't blame the woman. The heels alone were like 4 inches high. It was like stilts. So
because she's tiny, tiny, tiny. Yeah,
she's like 5'5". I was like, so she's like average, but of course, because Steven's 5'11".
I will never get tired.
Never.
We're never going to get tired of it.
Rag him. Yes.
Never let, you know, speaking of Steven, and you know, I hate to do that, but speaking of Steven, I was shocked to hell the other day. Like, I usually let my husband have the remote control. Because, like, I don't know, he's pickier about what he watches than I am. I'll watch anything.
Got it.
Let's give it a go. And he's just like, he's the guy who's like constantly scrolling and never can find anything he wants. So I'm like, you go nuts. I'll be over here on my computer dinking around until you figure out what you want to watch, you know?
Yeah.
And he landed on Code 8-2.
No way.
He did. And I was like, why?
Cody, because it's Robbie's baby and Robbie is the good Amel. So like,
exactly.
Watch
so we
it
watched
for Robbie.
It wasn't terrible, but it was like there was entirely too much Steven in it.
Really? Because I feel like yeah. I don't think I've watched the first one. I think I've seen bits and pieces of it. I think I saw it in a hotel. And I feel like
I barely remembered the first
there
one.
There was like a light amount of Steven because he was still under contract with Arrow. But now he's free as a bird.
Now he's unemployed. Now he's employed, but was unemployed at the time.
Yeah, until he starts filming Suits. Whatever. Still pissed about that.
I can't believe that the thing is happening.
Why, world? Okay. My dog is like, wow, Mom, that was really intense and loud. I'm sorry, Lily. Sometimes Mommy yells. Okay.
It was warranted.
Mommy has feelings about this.
Oh, yeah. She's getting out of bed now. She's like, honestly, fuck you. This dog is so diva-esque. Lauren had the flu. And I was like, okay, great. You know, Lily, you can sit with her and, like, cuddle. And it'll be so nice. And here you go, Lauren. Here's the dog we bought you. Ready to sit with you. And Lily was like, ew. I don't do sick people. She was like, every time I put her next to Lauren, she would, like, get up and like move to the corner of the bed and just look at me like she's breathing on me. I don't want to be around her. I'm like, I'm sorry, our dog is an insensitive little asshole.
Aww.
And now like if there's anything I'm in my bed, so she thought we were gonna nap, so she's really not excited the fact that I'm talking. If I'm on the phone and talking, then she's just like for work or whatever, then she's like, I'm going in my kennel. You're the worst.
Why are you damaging my earbuds?
We should like literally be asleep right now, and you're not, and it's dumb. So Like,
so you were sleeping, Jennifer?
Yeah, I take my naps during the day.
You know,
I know.
But you knew we were podcasting.
I did.
And then you fell asleep.
I was closing my eyes. Well, wait. How late was I? Was I really late? I thought I just got the
text
at 12:15.
No, you were perfectly on time.
Okay. No, sure. I had my alarm set, and I'm kind of going through an insomnia phase, so I really wasn't asleep. I was prepared. I was ready.
Okay.
I wasn't going to sleep through the podcasting. I know I've done that in the past, but this time, I was prepared.
You're like, don't put that on me.
I was like, I've done it a lot in the past of where I'm like, yeah, let's podcast, and then I fall asleep. And then they can't get a hold of me because basically when I'm asleep, I'm dead.
No, there was only the one episode where, like, me and Callie talked for a very long time and we were, like, literally just about to, like, say goodbye to each other. And then you popped in and we're like, oh, I guess we're talking now.
You're like, I'm like, hello? Like, were you asleep? I'm like, yeah. It's okay.
Hey, I'm a big proponent of naps. That's a part of my platform, so we are pro nap on this podcast.
Naps are the best. I don't know. I didn't realize this when I was a child. I didn't do naps when I was a child. Now I'm like, what was the matter with me?
Nobody likes naps when they're little, and then you get older and you're like, naps are the best.
They're the best thing that ever has happened. They're better than like going to bed. I don't know why, but you're going to bed when you're not supposed to, and it's the best.
Yeah. I was about to say, it was like junior in high school once I started like re-embracing naps.
Really realizing the joy of naps. Okay.
Wow, because I stayed up too late.
This was a fun segue.
Prohibited TV. And it was a time in my drama program where I had like, I always got cast in crappy parts that barely had any like stage time. So there was a couch in the back of the theater. Aww. And if I'm stuck at rehearsal, then I'm just going to kind of nap until Daddy, I need it.
Sad. Your drama theater life left you unfulfilled. Lauren's at her big, she's got her big spring thing and she's really excited because she's moved up to the second row.
That's impressive.
She feels like it's really happening for her.
Aw. See, I was like so much taller than all of the boys. It's just I didn't give ingenue.
Yeah.
And so, and all the shows that were chosen were either like very ingenue-y, and maybe like you'll have one character that's like a bit part that's like a scene or something. Uh-oh. And you're like, okay, let me know when my scene happens.
Lauren got a one-line speaking role in the fall play this year. She's really jazzed about it. So she's working her way up the ladder, you guys. She's a sophomore. She's really hoping junior year she's going to hit something with maybe two or three lines.
Yeah, once you get seniority of being an upperclassman, it does help.
It does help, yeah. I've talked to her because I'm like, she has a very lovely voice. Kind of like a bird. But, like, it's not a Broadway voice. So I was just like, you know, there are kids with really big voices, and they're going to probably get the singing roles, which is what you do in musicals. So I just try to keep our expectations, like, in the middle. Yeah. Set your goals. But, yeah, she's very excited. So what were we talking about before? Oh, Arrow.
Oh, Arrow.
How are you talking about that?
Wow.
That was a loop. Yeah.
That was great.
Trying to retrace our steps with you and how we got there. And yeah, that's
publicity a little bit. So I was kind of like, we're done, right? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, let's be honest. That's the best part of the episode is the beginning and then the end where he looks at Felicity and
with the coffee cup.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, it's like,
okay, I remember from my like cobweb mind of first arriving on the internet, finding an article where Steven talks about that scene and he kind of was like, you know, something about like the coffee cup being very meaningful to Oliver or something. It was very much like he was very much in his teasing Oliver and Felicity romantically phase and shitting all over Laurel.
I don't think he's wrong.
He had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
I feel like the coffee cup kind of symbolized like she's on board with him. Like she'll work with him.
Yeah.
Even when she doesn't agree entirely, she trusts in his vision. She trusts in him. She's going to be there to help him out and bring him coffee.
She's going to do things she doesn't want to do in order to support him. And it really is a moment where he's feeling pretty crappy about himself because...
Yes, because he's being shit upon.
Not only did he have the hubris moment of just, like, hiring Felicity as, like, the EA of something that's like she's entirely overqualified for. Also had the like being oblivious about like Dig and Carly because he's like not actually like asking questions about Dig's life and is just assuming things are just as it was before he left. And so it's like, yeah, let's like double date or whatever. Set you like a good reservation, not even realizing that Dig and Carly broke up until Felicity yells at him and it's like, you're just so absorbed with yourself. Like, get a grip, dude. Which is great.
Yeah, that's great. What I was thinking of is, so he, you know, the Queen family name is crap. So he offers to work with this blood guy who's an alderman in the Glades who's been like shitting on the Queens because it's a lot Moira's fault. So the Glades
fucker
exploded. I know Oliver's really trying to argue like points of details in the overall case against Moira, but she's pretty guilty, man. And he has to not show up to the benefit with blood because he has to go save the medicine delivery to the Glades hospital. So he has to like choose between being the Arrow versus being Oliver Queen. Of course he chooses being the Arrow, and then he's like gets trashed on television for it about how he doesn't give a crap about the city, even though he does care because he's and then Felicity brings him his cup of coffee. So I do love that he's like getting crapped on and she's like, all right, here's your coffee because I feel sorry for you. And then he just like gazes at her like,
what a dingus.
Like, I love you for bringing me coffee. Like, the man has really limited expectations of a relationship.
What a dingus, though.
But, like, also, like, those 5 years were rough when, if, like, a cup of coffee gets him that jazzed.
Like, seriously?
Dude, your life is dark and twisty. You should do something about that. It's pretty fucked up. I'm like, Oliver, what's the matter with you? And then you find out what's the matter with him. What were they doing in the flashbacks? I don't remember. Oh, he just killed somebody. So then Shadow has a chat with him. And they have sex. So, I was so confused by the scene. And maybe, like, somebody can, like, clear this up for me. Okay, so he kills the guy. All right. To protect Shadow, even though technically, the guy was unconscious and he didn't need to smash in his brain with a stone. We're just putting
details.
The rage took over. He must save Shadow. So the rage was just too much. Okay. And then he's like, wow, I'm a total psychopath. And
fucker.
Slay's like, yeah.
Also, that's a brutal way to kill somebody, especially when you have like a knife or something.
For the first time, murder. Like, they could have done it with a gun or the arrow, but no, we went balls out, bare hands, with a rock.
That's
disturbing. And Oliver is extremely disturbed, and Slade notices, and he's like, hey, the kid's kind of losing it. Like, can see the PTSD really starting to set in. Shadow, why don't you give him a little pep talk? So Shadow takes him to the lake to wash off the blood. And then, you know, she talks about the dichotomy of humanity, the light and the dark. We all have a demon, blah, blah, blah. Which is nice. I feel like it really paints a picture that if you haven't gotten, that's what's going on with Oliver Queen. Here's a very simple, easy to follow, like, explanation. And then he's like, thanks, I feel better. And then they have sex. What confused me is Slade. Okay, ready for this? Slade shows up after they have sex in the forest. And he, like, watches them.
What is that? What is that, though?
Okay. Like, actively doing it. Like, it's the post show, but, like, shadows in her bra. It's you know, it's
post-coital. It's intimate.
It's post-coital. And he's watching them. And then he just kind of, like, gets a little sad boy face on. And then he, like, yells for them to, like, you know, so that they know he's coming close and, like, she can get dressed. It was so creepy. And I did not remember that this happened. And it was such a creeper stalker moment. And I was like, number one, they're, like, dating. They've kissed in front of him. Was this the first time they had sex? I don't know. Did he not know that they were having sex? If that's true, he's stupid. If he did know that they were having sex, why was he spying on them?
Because he wants her.
I know he wants her, but, like, also they have this whole argument that it's, like, what happened
I know.
Is because of the whatever.
It's what? Super mega ultra lightning creepy.
Right. Creepy shit that's going to happen this season happened.
True. It kind of previews that, like, Slade isn't exactly a saint here.
Well, and Slade isn't also dealing with, like, a full deck.
Yeah, that's my argument. Like,
we're not talking about a guy who's got everything.
Making a comparison between the island trio and the present day trio of Diggleflip and Oliver. Like, there's clearly a dynamic. Okay, so. My thing is, it's kind of like leaving it out there, like, loo, 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 loo. Like, Oliver doesn't know who his best friend is, Rook, on the island. And it's like, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Your jeebies are heebies.
My jeebies are heebies. Because I'm just like,
wow, we went full weed in dialogue.
Yeah. And even they're like, oh, sorry. I'm a little shocked that he's like, I know, really, we should have written the show, but, like, I guess, whatever. Like, they talk to, like, she, you know, Shadow says yin yang, yang. I'm like, blah blah blah. Like, such an improvement. Such a word.
Are your jibbies heebies?
Yep, my jibbies. Such a wordsmith. Prepared to bring forth the theory. Slade was a little evil before all, you know, the evil.
Before he lost his damn mind.
Creeper behavior.
A little bit.
It's not great.
A little bit strange.
Yeah, freak me out.
Not the best look. Kind of shitty.
In present day, the good news is Diggle, not in love with Felicity. That's nice. It's a nice, nice problem to not
dodged have. A fucking bullet there.
I mean, honestly, they could have gone that way. They really could have gone that way.
They so very nearly went that way.
I mean, it was really like when she was in the gold dress, they were thinking about it. Like, there was a look.
It was gonna happen.
It was like testing, but then, like, Steve's, like, soft Felicity face are like, well, crap, we have to just go this way.
Right. Like, clearly the lead is pulling the hard eyes better. But
hard.
Look, I was like, Diggle thinks she's hot. Diggle absolutely thought she looked hot.
Diggle had the riz going.
Now they're clearly moving into more of a brotherly, sisterly kind of, like, whatever. But, like, and, like, people like to forget that moment happened. But it did. It did.
But, absolutely.
Yeah. So then we get to watch, like Maddie said, Felicity yell at Oliver, which is always spectacular. She yells at him twice this episode.
Anytime Felicity is yelling at Oliver, I'm having a good day.
What I loved about the fight that Maddie talked about where they're arguing about... because So Laurel's hunting Oliver now. And I gotta say, it really wasn't one of Stephen Amell's better, stronger acting moments, because he's so, like, Laurel is hunting him. He's with the cops. Why the freaking prosecutor is out in the field with cops? Does that happen?
No.
Okay, thanks. I was like, I've watched a lot of Dateline, and I've never seen that happen. It was weird. So anyways, Oliver gets shot in the ankle or whatever. Some part of the foot that doesn't require any more than him stitching himself up. And he's mad because he's been thwarted. And Diggle's a little sassy. He's like, you mad because Laurel was there? She was hunting you?
Ugh.
And Oliver's like,
let's not do that.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd moment for Diggle, because Diggle's just like, let's just poke the bear, which is unusual for him, but you know,
let's do it. Let's
poke at him. Like, oh, you're mad because of Laurel. It was literally like that. It was hilarious. Yeah. And then Oliver gets up. He's all indignant because he's like, it doesn't matter about Laurel. I can't save the city as Oliver Queen, and I can't save it as a vigilante. That's why I'm mad. And it really wasn't Steve's greatest, like, rising towards the yelling. But it was great Emily Bette Ricard's acting, because she grabs his arm and is like, hey, shut the fuck up. And it's spectacular. Like, I love when she literally grabs his arm. And he, like, looks down at her like, you just touched my arm. Number one, shock and joy. Also totally stunned that she's just, like, completely comfortable just, like, yanking him around. It's hilarious.
It's one of the infinite regret that this show's not on HBO, because actually, now in retrospect, to hear Felicity actually tell Oliver shut the fuck up would be glorious.
I mean, honestly, it's what it needed to be said at the moment. And yeah, I mean, he's right. He really didn't give a shit about what's going on. He's trying to, like, show that he cares. Like, he's trying to, like, look, I care. I'm talking about Diggle's girlfriend all the time, except she's not his girlfriend anymore. So Felicity points out, like, hey, you're not really caring yet. It's faux caring. You have to, like, ask us what's
questions.
Going on. Questions. And then you have to listen to the answers. Oh, he's such a
And prospect. Remember them and act on them.
Yes. And then, you know, approach topics with sensitivity and kindness. And I love that, like, Diggle's like, yeah, man, it's just, I broke up with Carly because I couldn't get past my brother, which... Yeah, you shouldn't have been dating her in the first place, because it's weird.
Yeah, dating your dead brother's wife.
Enough siblings dating the same people on this show. Enough. Do.
Especially, too, when it gets elevated when there's a kid involved. Of, like, that kid's, hey, like, Uncle Diggle's dating, or Uncle John's dating my mom. Like, that's right. Weird.
Also, we never, ever see that kid
ever again.
Like, what happened to Carly? Nobody knows. And really, I think it's because David Ramsey didn't have really good chemistry with that actress. So
yeah, no.
They just were like, meh, we're not going to do this. And then I love that Oliver tries to apologize to Felicity, and he's like, Felicity, and she, like, stomps away. I'm like... Yeah. So she's mad at him too when she brings him the cup of coffee. She is mad at him when she brings him the cup of coffee. So that's kind of how
she started to simmer, you know?
Yeah, he's forgiven with the cup of coffee. Do we need to talk about Laurel? I guess we kind of need to talk about Laurel.
Do we have to?
All right, I'm going to say something nice.
We talked about her a lot recently.
do you want me to hear something nice about her?
I'll think about it.
Okay.
Well, we'll let you go.
Okay. Her hair was spectacular this episode. It was okay. Really curly.
I'll give it that. It
was a really great look for her, and yeah. I'm sad that it did not continue. I was like, this is optimal hair, Katie Cassidy. Stick with this look. Didn't listen to me, but whatever.
It is interesting of seeing the gradual, like, because there is a bit of a jump from, like, how she looks in season one of, like, not just hair, but the face and whatnot. Not to be too catty. But, like, because it's a huge jump once we get into, like,
seasons three and beyond of well, like doesn't even remotely look like the same person as season one.
This is also very, very true.
I think
she looked better in first one.
Oh, this is the transitional season. Oh yeah.
I don't think it's being catty because they made a thing about it when season two was airing that she lost all this weight because of the storyline for season two. So, like, accept that, whatever. But yeah, there is a distinct difference because she has lost a lot of weight. Wait, I don't think she needed to lose. So, and I've always maintained that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but I really liked her hair.
Brown hair worked good for her.
It did.
Yeah.
I was weirdly, and it's okay. The other thing I've noticed, the hair is starting to lighten. And I remember being weirdly excited about this aspect of her character that as she becomes the Black Canary, she's going to go blonde.
Progressively get blonder.
It was really exciting to me. I don't know why. Maybe I was just looking for things to enjoy in her character. So I said hair.
You were desperate.
I was desperate. So we get to find out why she's mad at the Arrow. Why does she blame the Hood for Tommy's death? Because the Hood didn't save Tommy. She comes into CNRI, sees the rebar through his chest because of the papers, and then she sees the Hood leaving and decides he didn't save Tommy, therefore he's the worst, and I must hunt him to the ends of the earth. It's really, from a logic standpoint, it's a jump. So we're going to be doing a lot with Laurel this season. So it's fine. Whatever. That's Laurel.
Because it's like he had rebar through his chest. There's really not much.
What? Were you expecting him to, like, hold up the building? Like, I'm so confused. He didn't have superpowers, honey.
He should have had superpowers, goddammit.
I guess.
If you were a real hero, you would have had superpowers.
He'd have force healing, like, or something.
Listen, yeah. I got really proud of myself because I noticed on the rewatch that they announced that the particle accelerator at Star Labs was going to be done by Christmas. And guess who shows up around Christmas time?
Yeah, I had noticed that on my rewatch.
That way,
they were laying the groundwork.
I was real, like, I know, watching live, I didn't pay any attention to that shit because I had no idea what the freaking Star Labs was or whatever.
It's no, a nice touch. The first time I had
no fucking idea.
But like, if you're a core geek comic book guy, like you, that had to like flip your lid. You must have been jazzed about that.
They were losing their little fanboy brains.
Their fanboy brains. I remember having an argument with my husband over the Flash and Arrow ratings, and he was like, "Sweet Summer Child, the Flash is a much bigger
property."
And I was like, "Well, we'll see.
The Flash just has to completely not suck."
Yes, is exactly what he said.
And it was a near thing.
It was a near miss. Really, one could argue that they were not successful, but. Whatever.
Post season one, basically.
Season one. Season one was good. I really did like season one.
Season one was not bad.
Watched season one. Remember, we were all so excited and Flaro, and those were the days. Season three really is.
And even like the first time with Speed Force in that season one finale was like emotionally moving.
Yeah.
And like,
oh yeah.
Yep.
And then they did it again.
Yep.
And then they did it again.
And again.
And then they did it again. It was like, oh no.
So,
just let the mom be dead.
A question I had posed to Nick. I was like, so he just like runs?
Yes.
Nick was like, yep. I was like, that's the superpower. We're just going to run everywhere. He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, that's a pretty fucking lame superpower. Whatever. It's fine. Apparently. Other people enjoyed it, so who am I to say? Who am I to judge, really?
And slightly adjacent to this whole Arrowverse, like, news, I know we're
rabbit trailing a ton from this episode, but
because nothing really
since
happened.
They announced like who's going to play Supergirl in the DC movies coming up, that like people reached out to Melissa Benoist for like comment, and also part of me is just like, what do you expect her to say? Of like, because she knows she's not going to be cast in like the feature films, like, so she's just like, yay, someone else is playing this part, and glad like this character gets to live on, and just kind of a solid statement or whatever, because it's going to be Millie Alcock, who played the younger version of Rhaenyra in House of the Dragon.
Yes.
Yep. Which so, I thought was great casting.
Which I think is actually really solid casting.
Yeah. They did the same thing to Grant Gustin with the Flash. Oh, yeah? And he was like, and then they asked him, oh, are you going to play the Flash again? He's like, I would have for James Gunn. I'm like, yeah, I bet you would. Like,
in your fucking dream.
He was like, I trust James Gunn. Like, oh yeah, that's the reason. Because you were worried about being in the wrong hands with
the creative
else.
Integrity.
And James Gunn, of course, is a visionary director.
The paragon of all virtue.
Yeah, and therefore you would feel safe in playing Barry Allen in a film adaptation. I was like, Grant, sir.
Yeah. Please be so for real.
Give me a break. I was like, if a pony
although,
was making
even
a
I will admit
he'd sign up
like,
for
I,
it.
Like, even I'll admit, as much as like we ragged on like later seasons Flash and stuff, when it got to the point of like Ezra Miller's like series of crimes and like actively being on the run from the law throughout the country.
God.
Or, like different things. I was like, Grant Gustin is right there. I will admit, like, he does a decent
overall
job.
Unproblematic. So,
and like he hasn't assaulted people,
right?
So
maybe we should try that.
I never understood DC's need to keep the TV and movie separate. You can never have the same characters. They couldn't, you know, they did it again. So Superman got canceled on the CW because they're having Superman movie James Gunn with James Gunn, so they canceled the TV show. So,
well, at this point, I have no idea what the hell is going on with Warner Brothers.
I don't think they know.
Zaslav is just running it into the ground, and
they're really
like
their best shot.
Now we're just happy if movies get to exist and not get deleted into existence.
Basically, Gal Gadot had a baby too, so good on her, living her best life.
Yeah, but like once again, how is deleting a completed film not money laundering? Is like,
which film are we talking about?
Well, they've now done several. Like, there's like the Batgirl's 90% finished. The like the Wile E. Coyote one was completely finished and tested great with audiences. And then, like, they did just enough to say, "Oh, you could try to pitch it to other studios to see if they'll take it." And then, like, blocked any attempt as far as like any other studio to like distribute it or whatever. So now it's just deleted from existence. So now it's just that like movies can get completely made and then just not happen.
Yeah, I mean, they own it, so they can do whatever they want with it, I guess. So they paid the actors, they paid all the employees, so from a contractual standpoint they're covered, I think. So unless like in a, you know, unless they put it in their contract that the show, the movie has to film to air. Yeah, I don't know how you get around that, but yeah, that sucks. I'd be, man, if you got the role of Batgirl and you think you're gonna have a nice big movie and then they just are like, we're gonna shelve it. But really, DC,
and get a like a tax break as like, oh, we got a loss because we're not releasing it,
right?
And you're like,
well, listen, maybe they're embarrassed of it. Like Madam Web, you know, like
they should have been more embarrassed.
They should have like shelved that sucker, apparently. I almost have a morbid curiosity and I want to go watch it. But I'm not gonna pay for it.
I've heard so many awful things about it.
Like, I mean, across the board, I've heard like I have not heard a single positive thing about it at all. Like even
no.
the positive reviews were, I hate it so much that I enjoy hating it. Like, it's so bad. It's entertaining on that kind of bad level because it's like a comedy. So that's what they should have done. They should have.
I feel like life is too short to spend a lot of time and or money on bad movies.
Well, I'm not going to pay for it. That's for sure.
No, yeah. We went and saw Dune 2 this last weekend, and that was good.
Is it like a religious experience though? Because that's kind of how people are talking, and
I think they're getting a little excited ahead of themselves. But I think part of it is that movies lately have been so bad that it's almost shocking to go and see a movie that's like, oh my God, this is how movies used to be.
Yeah.
When they were good.
Basically since Barbenheimer. Yeah.
I
didn't understand the plot of Dune 1, so I'm really going to need to rewatch it.
Well, there's been lots. I can send you some. There's been some TikToks that have been like, primers for like, okay, this is what
I tried saw
in Dune 1. This is what the setup was, because that's all the first movie was setup.
You know how like some TikTokers make really long TikToks? Because there was this guy who had a PowerPoint presentation on Dune. I was trying to watch it, but oh my God, I got bored.
You have ADHD.
maybe this ain't my thing. Maybe I'm not cut out for the Dune.
It's interesting. What you need to understand is that spice is like oil in the Middle East. It's basically
it's like oil and cocaine in one.
Yeah, it's oil and cocaine. If you could snort oil and it got you high.
Well, those are wonderful things to combine. I've never had a problem with either of those in the U.S.
Apparently, it was explained to me that like, in the world that where Dune takes place, years ago they had basically the AI computer uprising, and the humans won, but just like barely. But ever since then, they've outlawed computers. But they still want to like travel, like interstellar, and so they can't. Humans have a hard time, obviously, computing the mathematics to do interstellar space travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so they discovered that the spice that's on this planet opens their minds up and lets people do the calculations for interstellar traffic. And that's why it's so sought after. It's like the most important thing because everybody needs to have it to go anywhere.
Interesting. That's
interesting. And yeah. And basically also that there's a lot of religious manipulation. Using religion to kind of keep people doing what you want them to do type of storyline. And the second movie is, are we going to defeat that? Or are we just going to like lean into it and say, what the hey?
But it's not better than The Godfather Part 2.
Well, probably not. No, but it's they're different movies.
No sense. I feel like comparing those two movies makes no sense. They're two totally different genres.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're very different. It's a good movie, and it's a movie that makes you think, and it's a movie that was really like well done. Like the effects were really good.
Impressive visuals and Hans Zimmer going ham on the score.
Oh my God, that music is amazing. Like it's so good.
Yeah, Hans, I'd watch for Hans. Zimmer music.
Apparently after the first movie, like the movie was released in theaters and Hans Zimmer was still sending the director music, and he's like, the movie's already out. He's like, I'm just really excited and I want to inspire you to write the second one. Hans Zimmer really believes in it. So
composer puppy, he is.
That's just wonderful.
Pat him on the head. What a doll. Yeah. Gotta love you some Hans Zimmer. He's just the best.
Yeah, I'll admit I haven't watched Dune 1. I heard like great things of just like from a filmmaking aspect. My main barrier is I just can't get engaged with Timmy. Like
I have a hard time with Timmy too.
Timothée.
This is a good movie for him. Like, if you, like, were annoyed with him in Little Women like I was, you would like him in this. Because this is his movie. Like, this is a good role for him. You know what I mean?
With him in Little Women is because we had Christian Bale.
Exactly. And how do you downshift?
You can't go you from Christian Bale to Timothy Chalamet.
Don't like, do that.
It's like man, child. It's literally that distinct of a difference. And there's no getting beyond the passionate kiss he lays on Winona Ryder.
And the thing in Dune, he's playing the son of a duke, kind of spoiled boy who's also kind of been trained and or genetically engineered for a purpose.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a good role for him. He kind of plays the reluctant, in this case, Messiah type of thing.
Well, you know, I'm always down for a good Jesus story. the real thing I have is I feel like Timothy makes me feel my age because, like, I do not
he's very young.
Attractive. He's way too young. Way too young. So I'm just like, I had to like ask Lauren because I was just like, it's wildly inappropriate to even consider him cute. But I asked Lauren, I was like, so like, is he cute? Like, is he like, do you have a thing for him? And she was like, meh. So.
It's not universal.
Yeah, it's not.
He's not my thing either, but I will admit in Dune, he has his moments. And I like understand like, okay, I see what they're going for with him.
Maybe I can show Lauren Little Women with Christian Bale.
Yeah, please do. Do not let her watch.
Really, I think she got mad at me a little bit because she went to see the Little Women and she was very confused by it because of the way that it's laid out. And I was like, I should have just taken you to see the Winona Ryder.
The good one?
Yeah, the good one. I can get it for free on Hulu. Instead of spending $20 a ticket. It's going to take a lot to get me back in movie theaters, guys. I'm just, like, not interested. We'll wait for Dune 2 to come out, and then I'll watch.
It's a really, really, really good movie. I don't like to say it's better than, like, Empire Strikes Back. Let's relax.
I mean.
Let's chill.
Breathe. Breathe.
take a minute. Exhale,
enter
inhale.
Yourself and think about what you just said. Think about
honestly, my biggest entertainment off of Dune has just been Zendaya's fashion over the press tour.
I mean, girlfriend is like all over with like some skin bearing. Like we got to see her bum. It's a cute little bum. I'm like Zendaya. She's just like,
but like she plays the most, it's like couture. The like the Thierry Mugler, basically robot suit.
Yeah.
At the London premiere was kind of epic. Of like, that's a moment.
Yeah. I mean, I'll was look really at her good wear anything because she's so gorgeous. Sometimes I feel like she should just like be a mannequin in France and where she just wears pretty clothes all the time.
That's why I'm excited for Challengers is the tennis movie that she's going to be in.
I saw a trailer for that when I saw Dune.
So good with the love triangle.
I was like, what?
When's that like, shit coming
out? We were sitting there ready to watch this movie. I was like, what is this?
I know.
The trailer does not like the trailer. I'm like, you know, what kind of movie is this?
What's happening, Zendaya? We're trying to figure it out, girl.
Because it looked a little skanky. I'm just going to say.
Well, there was like one of the Euphoria people were like shading on her because like season 3 Euphoria hasn't started. And she's like, I haven't paid my rent for 6 months because Zendaya's in Paris.
Well, God for fucking bid.
I was like, well, that's a little angry.
Well, she's the lead of the show and
she's in Paris.
It's not going to happen without
that's
her.
That's how that works,
she's
darling.
She's booked out like 8 years.
She's Zendaya. Like, oh. Are you Zendaya? No, like, then sit down.
Taylor and Travis, like everyone's like, oh, I wonder if they're gonna get engaged. I'm like, I'm wondering when they're gonna get married because her schedule is like planned out like 5 years in advance.
She's got no time.
So, like, how do you plan a wedding? I'm really worried about it, Taylor. So, anytime you could clear it up for me, like, do you leave occasional blocks? We're like, I could have a wedding at this point, but we'll just call it vacation time.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there. It's like that. It's like Zendaya is the most in-demand actress probably in Hollywood night right now. And her calendar's a little full.
Her calendar's a bit full, but besides the great fashion, speaking of like shipping real people, is there's a clip that went this week. She's in an interview with like Florence Pugh and they're talking, like she comments of, it's so great how you can change your like accents and stuff so easily. Like I've like been around, like when you're around people with like British accents, because they're my family now, that like, and I just think I can't, like I can never do that. But then I'm just like, oh my gosh, the British people are her family now, because like she considers Tom family, and that's just adorable.
I feel like I'm protecting my heart with those two because they're so young, and I'm just like, I don't want to get emotionally invested, even though I'm emotionally invested already, but like, because they're so young, and are they going to stay together? I don't know, because they're so young.
Well, me concerned. I lean more to because of the interviews where like Tom Holland is fine just kind of like stepping away and like taking his Spider-Man money, and like he's, when he said of like, I'm fine being a stay-at-home dad, we're just like, that could work.
It's like Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar, except, you know, her career didn't really happen, but that's fine. It's neither here nor there. He said that a lot. He was like, he'll stay at home with the kids and Sarah can work if she wants. It was quite progressive for the early 2000s.
Truly.
It was. Very much so. Okay, so we talked about Arrow, kind of.
Kind of.
Mostly about
Dune. Like, 202 is like, it's a building block. It's the second episode of the season, so they can't do anything, like, overly dramatic, but there's a little bit of, you know, setting groundwork and all of that.
We got some movement on Roy, which needed to happen, because I'm so over this argument with Thea and Roy and following the vigilante, and she doesn't want him to, and getting arrested and blah blah blah. It actually had one of my favorite Roy Oliver scenes ever, and where he confronts him in the police station. And I think Steven does a really good job acting in this, because he's talking about, you know, he understands why Roy is so angry, because he feels the same. And it's a very much like heavily, hi, I'm the hood. You're just too dumb to like notice. So he does find a way to like, he's like, okay, Roy, instead of like trying to beat up people, why don't you just like be my eyes and ears in the Glades? We'll start there. So there's at least some forward movement on a Roy Harper storyline, because I really couldn't do another half season of like this thing with him and Thea. It was like enough already.
Yeah. And we got a good episode next week. So
because that's one of
the villains that is genuinely terrifying.
Oh, God. This episode was a China White episode. And I, did you guys ever understand the hype with China White? Because like, all of her episodes, I just think she's terrible.
Yeah, she's not that great.
No, I'm just like, oh, they're all...
Like, the fighting's cool, but besides that, it's just there's no there there.
That's like, China White's one of the big Green Arrow villains, right?
But I guess so.
I really didn't get it. I did not get it. I was like, I don't get why this is, like, a big deal. So, there you have it.
Yeah.
My opinion on China White. Again,
I would say the villain next week is potentially one of like top tier of like procedural villains that like actually made me like scared.
Who was it? I don't remember.
Dollmaker.
Oh, the Dollmaker next week is scary. Oh, this is a creepy episode. Ooh, it's a good one though.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Okay, so we made it through two. Things start picking up after two. We just had to do a lot of setup.
We. Just like tolerated, we have set the table.
The good news is there's very few of these like set up filler lull episodes in season two. It's one of their better pacing. Arrow was shit at pacing, so yeah.
There we'll have our moments of rage. I still think we will have to properly schedule to make sure we have like 2 hours of time for the 2:13 rage fest, or
yeah. Well, I might need one for 206 too.
Come to think. Yeah, about it. But it, yeah,
definitely 213. Yep, feeling pretty good about that. And 214.
Yeah, it's the 1-2 punch of.
Yeah, we almost have to combine those two episodes because like there's so much anger.
It's
there's
the moment so that made me nearly quit the show.
What? It's just gonna be incomprehensible Jen yelling.
The fact that I stuck around for this show is a miracle.
Honestly. Like, now that I know you so well, Callie, it's a freaking miracle you stayed with this show.
I'm telling you.
You are such a, nope, done, peace out. You ticked me off. I'm over it. Like, hasta la vista. So they really, you really loved them. You really loved these characters because you
around. I often say it was a good thing that they gave us 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was.
Because I needed that full 2 weeks to like calm down. If it had been back the next week, I would have probably been like, nah.
Nope.
We'll save it for that episode. But yeah, that is, I would say, of all the episodes in season two, the three or four most memorable ones are 206, 207, 213, 214, and the finale. Like, my emotional reactions to those episodes are like burned into my brain, as are my husband's reactions. Because Nick, like, I emotionally react to everything and he emotionally reacts to nothing, but he actually had emotional reactions to those, to some of those episodes. So if Nick is like, what the fuck? It's bad. It's really bad.
It's really bad.
Real bad.
It's real bad. Oh, can I talk about my One Tree Hill ladies?
Go for it.
Did you guys watch One Tree Hill? Did anybody watch One Tree Hill?
I didn't. I kind of know the gist, but like, yeah.
Well, they have the podcast with the three actresses now, with Hilary Burton, Bethany Joy Lenz, and
Oh my god, it's gone.
Sophia Bush. Sophia Bush. Thank you. I knew it was an S. But Bethany Joy Lenz and Hilary Burton, they be beefing. Like, they've unfollowed each other on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah, they be beefing big time. Like, I think it might have something to do with the fact that Bethany is releasing a book, and the cover of the book looks exactly like Hillary's book that she released last year. And Hillary posted on Instagram that she doesn't think flattery is a imitation
is a sincere form of flattery. Yeah,
it's annoying. It's a pink quote, and everyone's like, whoa. And then I don't know what else. They think that there might be political beefing. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, this is a hugely successful podcast. Like, it's done very well. It's kind of revived all of their careers too, quite frankly. So I'm like, but like, now they're just like doing like two of them, like Sophia and Bethany, Sophia in, you know, Hillary. It's like the three of them, I don't think, are in the podcast very much together anymore.
Interesting.
I know. I was like, wow. It was on my TikTok feed. I just got like a whole like conspiracy theory flooding with puppy videos. That's my TikTok feed. So, okay, there. I said my piece. Makes me feel good. That's
kind of sad, though.
It's so sad because like the whole point of the podcast was they were trying to reclaim their, you know, relationships with each other, because they were part of the Me Too movement. Their showrunner was an absolute skeez bucket and like pitted them against each other. So they really weren't super close friends because of that guy. And like, Hillary ended up leaving the show early because she couldn't work for him anymore because he was a total skeez bucket. And so like, the whole point of the podcast was like girl power and like female friendship. Yay. And like, we're gonna like take this all back. And it makes me so sad that they're beefing.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Because, like, they got 7, 8, 9. This show goes 9 seasons, so I think they have 3 more seasons to go through. It's a lot of episodes. So, I don't know. Makes me sad, though. Just everybody, like, talk out your differences and get along. Ta-da! See, look. I solved the world problem.
Exactly.
I should tackle world hunger next.
Break out the get-along shirt.
Exactly. So, anyways, that's all my salacious gossip. I don't have anything else. Maddie, any salacious gossip?
Not that I can think of. It's been quiet.
It's been quiet. Oh, no, it hasn't. That was the other thing. Okay, you know how I watch Sister Wives?
Yes.
and I'm like the only person on the planet that watches Sister Wives. It's so freaking sad, you guys. One of the kids committed suicide.
Oh, well, that's tragic.
It is extremely tragic. He's one of the sons of my, there's four moms. And it's one of the really good moms. It's this Janelle. It's one of his, her kids. And he, all the women have divorced the guy except for one. So, he's estranged from a lot of his kids because of this, and because he's a douchebag. But yeah, they like he killed himself, and I'm just like, it's actually devastating. It's really sad. Like, you're just like, oh my God, this is like, they've been like, you've watched season like 15 years. They've been filling the show. I haven't watched all the seasons, but like it's just, it's absolutely shocking. It's 25. So I don't know what was going on, but man, this is like one of those times where you're like, man, I really wish they didn't have a TV show. You know what I mean? Like, this is just not something that you're going to want to like film and talk about. And
yeah, that's really upsetting.
It's going to rip a hole. I mean, it's just, he was a really sweet kid. This is the military. And, but the crazy thing was like, he has roommates. He bought a house and he had roommates, and they said that they heard a pop, but they didn't think anything of it. So I don't think he was discovered until the next day. I'm not 100% sure, but like, honestly, who the heck are these roommates that you hear a pop and you don't go like, hey, are you okay? I don't know. I don't know enough about like the house and where people were living and like what time it was. I don't know, but that's what some of the police report said. So I don't know
if I buy that.
Yeah, I don't know if I do either. Well, and then Janelle had tried, he was actually, I think he was texting some of the producers on the TV show, like, and he was like making some worrying comments. So they let Janelle know, and she said that she was texting with him, and then he stopped responding. So then she sent a text out to her other kids, and one of the other kids volunteered to go check on him, and he is the one who found him. Like, ugh, and that kid is like the sweetest little puppy dog, super sensitive, just lovely person. So
that's awful. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't think any sibling that would have been awful, but it just feels particularly awful with, because he was really close to him too. So it's just awful. So say some prayers for their families, because they're really going through it. Makes me sad.
Makes me sad now too.
I know, that was a real downer. Sorry, guys. And on that note,
gosh,
yeah, like,
it's just like, I can't
think of a transition from that. But
no,
doesn't it? Sorry, it's not really salacious gossip. It's more, this is really awful thing that happened, and I'm sad about it.
Yeah. Oh,
I know.
That poor family.
What do you do? It's just, it's awful. It's really awful.
So hug
your kids. Check on your people. Make sure they're doing okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because you just never know what's really going on with somebody.
You never know what people are struggling with.
No, you really don't. And like, they're like, oh, well, he just adopted a kitten the other day. It's like, yeah, you know, this depression thing. It really can just, I'm not saying
it's
that
it's not linear. It's, yeah.
No, there's really like a.
It's not about, like, people don't understand if the darkness is dark enough on the.
That particular moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then yeah.
It's not a reflection like, oh, they didn't love their family enough to stay. And it's like, has nothing to do with it.
Again, it's a mental illness, if that's what was going on with him. I don't know. But just in general, I mean, I have a really good friend who suffered from severe depression. And, you know, there's a cycle to it with her. And, you know, she'll just like disappear off the face of the planet, you know, and then she'll come back. But like, there's an absolute ebb and flow to it. She's better now that she's gotten some therapy and like is finally doing that. But yeah, it really is like a situation where you can be talking to them one day, everything's fine, next day boom. So to me, it's like you can't really hold people responsible for their actions when they're in that kind of frame of mind. It's no different than any other mental illness of like schizophrenia. And like, it's, you can't hold people accountable for their actions when they're in a state of mind that they can't control.
Yeah.
It's brain chemistry, you know? So I hate that they rule that stuff a suicide. You know what I mean? It like should be accidental death in my opinion, but
yeah,
you know, so
I agree.
It's just really awful. His mom's a really good person and she raised great kids, and it's just
so sad.
It's just really, really sad. Yeah. And I you know, does it have something to do with the TV show? Does it have something to do with his dad? I don't know. But his dad's no prize, so it certainly didn't help. Anyways.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That light note.
Thanks, Jen.
I'm here to help, guys. I'm here to bring sunshine and rainbows.
That is not sunshine. That is not rainbows.
Real downer.
None of that is happening.
Say prayers for them. So, and offer good wishes to them if you don't want to pray. Like, just putting that out into the ether because they're going through it. So.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Drink your water, take naps when you need to, yep. And talk to people if you
exactly
need right. to talk to people. Exactly.
But on better news, we do get a really good Arrow episode for next week, so we'll be more focused. They're cooking. I'm for it. So.
Sounds like a good plan. I will talk to you then, ladies.
Okay, bye.
Right, bye.